special place, San Antonio, where I can go. Not you alone. Noches, Clayton. It is Puto SAFC. I'm Shraddock.
Clayton's here. Got a little tongue-tied there, huh, Matthew?
Clayton, I was ready for you to end that song.
I didn't think that would be in your wheelhouse. All right, so do you know what Taco Land is?
Yeah, of course.
Okay,
on the river.
Had you moved?
R.I.P. Ram.
There we go. Had you moved here? Did you get any time at Taco Land before? There was that murder there, and then it kind of shut down and stuff.
I think it was open, but I never went there. I love the renovated Taco Land, though.
Yeah, I mean, there's like, so we're, hey, how are you doing?
Good, I'm listening.
So,
that was the goal.
Happy almost fiesta to you.
I thought maybe that was the inspiration.
That's what's going on here, like, nights ending, like, fiesta.
Love
like
that.
Like, down at Taco Land.
Love
that.
So
the dead milkman, that's the dead milkman right there.
That's someone you see, like, at a fiesta party at midnight when they're jamming.
Yeah, like, well, they're famous. Like,
I mean like,
they ended up being
at,
real. They
at Nyosa on the stage.
Yes, and they're from San Antonio, and they played Taco Land. Yes.
Who, like, is it?
The dead milkman.
They're famous?
Yeah, dude. Like early punk, like, in the 80s. You know, like, and... Like, obviously, I wasn't old enough to get to see them there. Maybe even a little bit later than early 80s. Maybe late 80s. But, like, Taco Land, fiesta, late nights, getting a little rowdy. Ooh. That was, it's coming up, right?
I mean, you and me sitting here hydrating on a Tuesday night.
Yeah.
Prepping, the shad pad.
Prepping for it.
There's going to be no alcohol consumed for a few days here just to get my body full of nutrients.
Are you trying, like... Every year I need to come up, with like, not a new strategy, but how am I going to do it? Am I going to do a couple of events and am I going to do them real hard, or am I going to try to like spread it out over,
yeah,
over the long haul?
And, what's your theme this year?
I think it's going to be a couple real family friendly style and then a couple of me getting after it.
Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah, fiesta. Exactly. Like, you know, there's Fiesta Clayton that has all his like, medals on, and he's not all sweaty, and you know, got his shirt unbuttoned all the way and stuff like that. There's a couple of different Fiesta Claytons.
Well, hey, Fiesta Clayton, come on by the Nyosa Sauerkraut Bend Wine Stage on Thursday night at Nyosa. I'll hook it up.
Okay,
like the kids say, hook it up.
So I think
that's
so. In the past, my in for Nyosa, and this is my spectacular. This is the best way to do it is I've got a buddy and we volunteer to be fire marshals and check to have like the booze that need their fire extinguishers.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and we go in there and you get to go in early.
Oh.
And you get to shake people down early, like, hey man, you need a check mark here for this, but you know what the cost is. One puffy taco for a check mark here saying that you have all your fire extinguishers.
Great.
And like, it's like that study that, you know, like the Stanford like prison experiment or whatever, when you give like the people the power over other people, like they're going to abuse that
Fire
power.
Marshal,
yeah,
Clayton.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Fire Marshal Clayton has the power to put that check mark there and like totally shakes everybody down for food. But nobody they're always like, oh, of course, take one, man. You know?
It doesn't cost them anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Man, that is the way to do fiesta.
Right? You know what I'm saying? Like, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours.
Volunteering.
Yes.
That's the way to do fiesta.
Yes.
Beethoven's volunteering. awesome.
Were you ever here when I was when I was doing the music at Oyster Bake?
Yes, we told that story on the pod, Clayton.
Yeah.
I was there the year you lost the check.
Oh, yeah.
You were relieved of your duties.
Well, I was not allowed to. I was not allowed to volunteer anymore after that.
They told you it'd be, you can volunteer elsewhere. I've always heard throughout the years that NYOSA alcohol volunteering is the one you want to be at because everyone wants alcohol, so you can get anything you want. And so, thank you, Todd, for the invite. I'm excited.
Oh, I see where you're coming from. Yeah.
Thursday night. I've got the booze.
Thursday night is...
I finished my TABC training.
Oh, look at you. You went and got prepared for this.
I passed the quiz. I can identify that you, sir, are above 21. And if you have legal, valid Texas ID, I can serve you some alcohol.
Nice.
Or not. You didn't ask me my fiesta. I guess that's... I'm Fiesta Yes this year, Clayton.
Okay. That's your headline?
Fiesta Yes. Yeah, I mean... Like,
you asked me if I want to go to that event? Yes, I want to go to your event.
Ooh.
Like Zulu, ooh. Taste of New Orleans?
I've always wanted to go to that.
That's something that we talked about, we haven't talked about yet. That could be something that I would do with the family.
Have you ever been to that?
Yes.
With the family?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's only during the day. Friday and Saturday.
Yes.
But anyway...
And Sunken Gardens is an original San Antonio venue, dude.
Love it.
You know, like, they don't do many concerts there anymore.
I've never been to an event there.
You've never been to a concert there?
I jog by there, never been inside.
Interesting.
I just feel like COVID year screwed up everything. And this is the first year that I've been looking forward to Fiesta. Like, it's a known thing. It's back. I know the plan. I'm not like, oh, what night is that? Like, I know when everything is. I know the people, places. I'm ready to enjoy Fiesta again.
You've got the layout there. The layout is there for you. It's just a matter of you mapping your route.
Because there's nothing worse than going to Fiesta if you don't have an inn. Like waiting in the line with La Gente in the Puro with Sway. Like you're just going to wait in line over and over and over, and you're going to spend $80 and hardly be drunk.
We don't need a Cavaliers police escort. We don't need that. I don't need that. Like, I can help and be part of the solution. You know what I'm saying? By volunteering, helping the city at large.
I am not VIP Fiesta. Okay, are you?
No, never been.
You only do about two or three things, right?
I mean, normally I go real hard on two or three, but this year I made, like I said, do two or three family.
Here we go.
Two or three for me.
Rapid fire. Two or three Fiesta things you will do this year.
I will definitely be at King William in some way, shape, or form.
Me too. Marching in the parade, giving out books. Bring your kids. We have more books than I've ever seen in my life. You better be giving out books.
Because
we need manpower.
I'm more of the back of the trailer, like handing them from getting them off the trailer to the people.
Okay, so you'll be on the trailer.
Yeah.
All right. I already said NYOSA.
Chariata.
Ooh.
Chariata.
Okay.
One weekend or the other, probably most likely second weekend. That's my wrap up Fiesta event. That's my get back to it. Get back to like the most basic Fiesta. Just show up, start drinking some beers, and watch like some true Fiesta.
Diamond in the rough, right there.
For sure.
Great event.
For sure. Been going on forever.
I will be at Battle of Flowers.
No Battle of Flowers for me.
I always go late. I never want to go. I get there for the last 30 minutes and I'm like, man, this is fun. I should do this more. I'm not going to pay someone $50 for front row seats.
No.
I'm just going to park. I'm going to sneak up. I'm going to see about two things go by. Let my kids see what a parade is and go home.
Yeah, I'm generally not a non-parade guy, but for the fact that we are participants in the King William Parade, so that's the only parade you're going to see me at.
I love it, Clayton. Fucking excited. I love it.
You know what we don't have to worry about this year? Missing out on an SAFC game.
Oh, I love that.
Transition?
They should call it like the Fiesta Road Trip.
Because they've had, you know, like over the last two or three years,
it's been on Saturday night. Every time.
Yes, either the first weekend or the second weekend. Yep. Very rarely is it both weekends. I can't remember that happening.
It's yes, and I hate it. So Spurs, good job. Remember that for next year.
No, and it's not that we don't love going to SAFC games. It's that like there's so many other weekends that you could do it other than Fiesta weekend.
Yes, and I don't want to get a DWI driving to the stadium.
Yeah, and I would imagine that. I wonder if SAFC can put in like schedule requests to the league office.
Oh, I'm sure they can.
You think so? And be like, hey man, this is our thing in San Antonio. Like,
yeah.
If there was a team in New Orleans, you probably wouldn't have them play during Mardi Gras
unless they wanted to.
Yeah, there we go.
But no, the stadium's too far from downtown. You can't like make it a Fiesta thing. Agree. It's Tuesday night. We're podding at the Shad Den, prepping for Fiesta. I kind of don't want to talk about the game, Clayton. I want to talk about something else. First.
Oh, yes. That's what I want you to talk about because, A, I don't have any notes this week. B, I didn't watch the full game.
Shall we go through the game quickly first? But I'm way more interested in the breakfast.
I am interested in you, and that's what we were texting about. Man, what are we going to do? Because it was a 0-0 game. And,
yeah.
And we'll get to that. But we can fill the void of a 0-0 with you went and did something pretty cool this last week. What was it?
Why am I blanking? I feel like I got way more traffic on the Twitter and texts about this event than anything else. So last Wednesday, I can't believe I forgot to mention on the pod the night before that I was waking up early to go to this breakfast. SAFC, Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. So the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce invited SAFC to have like a panel breakfast at Casa Hernan, which I learned is like a Johnny Hernandez thing. I guess it's like a private event center. It's awesome. It's really nice.
Where is it?
Down right next to La Tuna.
Okay.
And he's...
So by Blue Star. Backside of Blue Star.
Yep. They've converted it to look... It looked a lot like a house I went to in Mexico last summer. Like all Mexican decor, masks on the walls.
Is it right real next pretty. To La Tuna? Is it that like...
I think so.
Okay.
Directly behind it.
And how did you know about this event?
They sent it out to season ticket holders to the email.
I think I got it. I think Willie got it and sent it to me, and I wasn't going to be able to go. But go ahead.
Here's something interesting. Like, they sent it to every season ticket holder. I was expecting it to be bigger. I was expecting there to be, like, lots of season ticket holders. After the event, they mailed out, since it's a networking event, it was $20, so whatever. There was the food was awesome. The food was like Mexico, and you know I love
Mexico.
So
you like RSVP'd and
I went and bought a ticket.
Be able to go?
Like Eventbrite or whatever you do. You go put in your credit card and they give you a ticket.
And was this like a fundraiser for the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce?
No, not really a fundraiser. I think they do these regularly. And like 1 month it's the construction industry and this month it's the soccer team.
Okay.
They were all those people were there. They sent out the list after the event of all the attendees, like 100 people. And I went through to see if I knew anyone. And there might have been 5 people that were listed as season ticket holders.
So are you saying that you kind of feel bad that you didn't mention it last weekend because you thought maybe it would have been nice for some of our listeners?
No one would have heard that by Tuesday morning, the next morning at 7 a.m.
True.
It got sent to every season ticket holder. I'm surprised more people weren't interested because it was awesome.
Cool.
It was the most I've learned about the team ever in a single event. Like, they should do this every year. That's my headline. SAFC, do this every year for the season ticket holders. Because what do? They have the team president, Bobby Perez. We'll just call him that.
Yeah.
Marco Ferruzzi, who's sporting director. And then the head of the academy, Chim Chesney. They were there on the stage. They talked. They answered questions. And I learned, like, so much that made me like the team so much more, Clayton.
And it seemed like when you texted me about it and sent me some pictures from there, and you were so enthusiastic about it, it was like, this is exactly what we've been asking for when we ask questions like the start of every season. Like,
yes.
What is Marco Ferruzzi's actual title?
I learned that.
What is it?
Well, he's sporting director.
Okay.
And it's very clear. Oh, he's a cool dude.
You can tell he's a soccer guy.
Oh, boom. That's number one on the list. All three of them are soccer guys. Tim, you said, played. What? Tell us about him.
Played at MacArthur High School. Okay. I played club soccer with Timmy. He was an amazing player.
Okay.
He went on and played 4 years at Incarnate Word, played in the NAIA National Tournament multiple times, was an All-American as the all-time leader in assists at Incarnate Word.
So he played there with people we know.
Yeah, like Kerwin Johnson. And they had an insanely good team. And then went on and got his graduate degree at Dartmouth, I believe, in like coaching or whatever the graduate degree at Dartmouth, and met his wife, who is a federal judge, and he has been a club coach at that Lake Travis Club.
Lone Star?
Whichever Lake Travis Club that's so good and successful.
Okay.
I don't know and then has been a coach. But anyway.
Well.
Essentially took over after, left? Nick.
Nick. Oh, I didn't realize that. So he's the new Nick.
There we go. Yes. So he's the new Nick.
Well, I name dropped your name. I said hi to him. Luckily, I was there with season ticket holder and the dean of San Antonio Soccer.
Did he remember me? Because we used to have some serious battles, Alma Heights versus MacArthur.
I was there with DJ Kilbasa, Dave Stolarski. What do we call him? Does he have a name?
The Godfather of Godfather of Soccer in San Antonio.
The Godfather of San Antonio Soccer. And so Dave luckily gave me like the Godfather intro, you know.
Oh, I got you.
Where people
a friend of mine.
And name dropped you. Yes, of course Tim remembers you.
Lovely.
And he brought a smile to his face, and guess what? He's got a daughter who's a C. Oh, we're watching Barcelona PSG on the rewatch, and I haven't seen it.
It was just a pinger.
Goal, Paris, Saint-Germain. It's 2-1. Global is tied. Road goals tied?
They don't do that. All right.
Game on.
Yeah. Red card for Barcelona.
Champions League is fun.
Okay, so anyway.
His daughter's a senior at Alma Heights.
Really?
On the team.
Wow.
So we almost saw her play that night when we went to that game. It was a doubleheader.
True.
He was probably there.
Very true. So hopefully we get a chance to see Tim out and about. Like, I've seen him at some of the SAC games. Haven't had a chance to talk with him.
Oh, does he sit with La Gente?
I've seen him, his parents, sitting down, like, a couple different times and stuff like that. But anyway, his father, I believe, is Irish and his mother is English. And they were just spectacular to have as parents. Like, at the youth soccer level, some of the things that they would say. It was spectacular. But anyway, go ahead. So who else was there?
Ferruzzi. Doesn't talk a lot.
Okay.
And I'll tell you what, he had some opportunities to name drop clubs he'd played at, players he'd coached, and he did not do that. And okay. So at first I thought, he's definitely the guy in the back of the room. He's got a lot of Aldo to him.
Uh-huh.
You know Aldo.
Yep.
He's a lot of back of the room energy. Where he like might walk up in the middle of your speech and be like, and then you'll change your mind and be like, actually, what I meant to say. He's got that energy where he knows what he's talking about.
So
he dropped a lot, and he knows a lot. Oh, sorry.
Well, so one of the questions we had at the start of the season was personnel decisions. Where they're coming? You had a very firm, committed response that you gave me with regards to what you thought was going on with personnel.
Yes, he didn't say it, but it is clear from his language he makes personnel decisions.
Okay.
He made comments like, when I'm looking for a player, or when we are looking for a player, when we're identifying a player, one of the ways that we find a player in Portugal is, sometimes when the team brings over a player from France, then we have staff that helps them to get settled. I was sitting right by Matthew Depleng. Do you remember him from a couple years ago?
Yes. That
Frenchman.
Yes, that had the former Champions League, Matthew Depleng.
Really?
Remember he played in the Champions League for like Marseille or somebody that, dude.
This close to inviting him out on a Sunday. He coaches for St. Mary's Hall now.
Wow.
Yeah, and the St. Mary's Hall soccer coaches were there.
It seems like a lot of the former players have stuck around here and become part of the fabric around
here. Can I drop some news on that?
Yeah, please do.
I think I forgot to mention this to you and the listeners. Beep, 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 breaking news. Two new employees of the team.
Are?
Just casually mentioned in conversation that during the summers, Matt Cardone's been coming back and working with the team.
Okay.
Training players, I think.
Interesting.
And I don't remember if they said front office. Also, newest employee of the team, newest member of the 100 Caps Club, Connor Maloney.
Really?
Now working for the Spurs Sports and Entertainment.
You know what? It's kind of like the sports version of Enterprise Rent-A-Car. They really give you the tools, you know what I'm saying, to be successful in the sports world.
Well, like, I don't even know. I don't know. I think those are legendary players. We finally got the answer to what is Connor Maloney doing these days.
We just got a little early alumni segment right there, too, as well.
Right there. Love that. And Connor Maloney did text me back. We need to reach out and see if we can get him for next week for a special Fiesta guest.
Charlie asked me twice this afternoon. You said you were going to have Connor Maloney on your pod. And he's like, can I please go and see him? Like, I know. He was so moved by the 100 celebrate, you know, at halftime where they had the bouncing players like behind him and stuff like that we talked about. But anyway, here's another question from me. Anything about, you know, we'd also talked about change of style, and did Ferruzzi have any input on our change of style? Any conversations about that, or any did you catch any whiffs of anything about that?
No.
Okay.
No.
And that doesn't seem this like was something it didn't seem like something they would address in a meeting like that, the way we play.
I'll tell you what. This was a business meeting.
Right.
It was a business oriented, like almost like a pitch about the business that it was very much.
Terrible tackle right here, by the way. Yes.
That is a PK.
I mean,
right?
just as terrible as you can make that tackle.
Ousmane Dembele is having a
coming like out. That's more red cardable, I think, than the red card that they got in the first half. But anyway.
The third member of the panel was Bobby Perez,
yes.
Team vice president,
yes.
Spurs vice president. It becomes pretty clear he's the president of the Spurs soccer operations, right? Kind of like he's probably doing all the contracts and stuff.
Yes.
Making business decisions.
Yes.
He's really sharp. Also from San Antonio, just yep. like Central Catholic's Marco Ferruzzi.
Former city councilman.
That was impressive to me. All three guys on the stage were from San Antonio, and they were all crazy about soccer.
That's a great point, Matthew, to point out. Like, this is Puerto SAFC. We have local people now, like, totally running this franchise.
Marco played in Europe. Chesney, European parents, played in college.
Yes.
Bobby Perez, I don't know what his soccer background is, but I know his kids play soccer, you mentioned.
I coached his kid, yes.
There you go. And he's very clearly a soccer fan.
Yes.
So I would put him in the soccer guy category. He's not like, what's a forward? Or right. what's off? Explain offsides to me.
Exactly.
I don't think that's Bobby.
Right.
So it was just a great. Afterwards, I was like, "Hey, those are local people that also know the game."
That's a great point. I didn't think about that. All three of those guys are local guys. That's awesome.
You asked about the playing style. No, it was all about business. So Bobby talked a lot about the business side. That was eye opening because you can tell that they're very meticulous about their business, and they did not. They hardly got into soccer, but then, of course, once they gave the microphone up, it was soccer questions.
Yes. When they were talking business, did you get the impression that that SAFC is super dedicated to this and, like, they're in it for the long haul and, like, this isn't just a frivolous us-making-money type thing?
For sure. For sure. At the end of the whole thing, my vibe was like, I actually just told Bobby, like, hey, thanks for doing this. Like, not doing this dinner. Like, thanks for doing this team. Like,
yeah. Hey,
you know, you guys have been doing it like 5 or 10 years. And I feel like if we look back and had said like 5 or 10 years ago, if we had a stadium, a franchise, the league is doing well, like these other things I'm going to tell you about.
We would have been skeptical if you had told me that we would be doing this well.
Oh,
this far into it.
Yeah, I mean, everything's going, like, it's just, they accomplished so much. And I was like, that game on Saturday, the CBS game that we watched on TV, it was like, you know, like, I wouldn't have ever seen that coming. And, like, y'all are.
And did you have a chance to tell him this?
Yeah, no, I said.
That's awesome.
Like, right when it was very end of the day, I was like, hey, thanks for doing this. Like, that game on Saturday was, like, something. And, like, we're not, like, a follower. Like, we're, like, one of the leaders of the league.
Yeah.
We're, like, a model franchise. And, like, It's turned into something where I don't think they could
get out of it. It's not nothing. It's something.
I don't think they could get out of it. Much less do I think they want to. I think they see that this is worth something and has interest.
And so my last question then for you would be, when you stood up and asked a question, which I know you did at some point in time, did you say, Matthew Shattuck of the Puto SAFC podcast, my question is for you, Mr. Ferruzzi, or Coach Ferruzzi. Or no, that's what I accidentally called him. I accidentally called him Coach when I walked by him when I was all drunk. But, like, did you do that? Did you say, this is Matthew Shattuck of the Puto SAFC podcast. My question for you is.
I did not.
Okay.
I did not ask a question.
Really?
There were only three questions. I did better.
Do you think they were planted questions ahead of
no,
time?
No, no. I can tell you what they were. I did better. I put my card in the pick a card for the free stuff. And I was really nervous they'd pick it, but I figured it would get our name out there.
Yeah.
It's going to be both embarrassing, but also like a little something-something. But the people in the room were not soccer people.
Got it.
There were a fair amount of Academy parents, because Tim was like, oh, there's Jaden's dad, and there's Jimmy's mom.
I gotcha.
So there was some club kid vibe, but mainly it was people in suits. And this was a business pitch about money for the team, what the team's going to do strategically.
Gotcha.
Business strategy.
Like, they're trying to lure business partners, like, to see names across, around sponsors. The field for sponsorship.
Yes.
Got it.
And I did better, though. At the end, via Dave, I introduced myself to all three of them and got a card in all their hands. So I didn't ask a question in front of La Gente. I just let him know who we were and told
Marco. I bet we could get Timmy on here.
Told Marco we want him on the show, and he's like, that'd be great. I was like, well, we scour the internet, we can't find you, but shoot me an email or something, and we'd love to talk.
So now we got Connor, hopefully we get lined up.
Well, they know who we are.
Yeah.
Okay, all right?
All right, there we go.
Like, we're not going to prom, but she knows who I am, okay? She knows me, and we'll just see what she does with that information.
I guess I will ask one more question. Lots of talk about them sticking their toe into the women's soccer world.
Yes, great segue. I wanted to bring that up for sure. It was the day after the women's game, Australia versus Mexico. So that was just kind of in the air. They just had it last night, and it came up twice. First, they brought up that I hadn't known this, but at that game, they were proud of the attendance. They said it was cool. We're the first USL team to have the Mexican team in our stadium. They mentioned that the first division, NWSL, was in the stadium watching the game. And they didn't say why. They didn't say anything besides that little egg drop. So, what's that mean? Clearly someone's interested in something.
I saw an advertisement for that league before the Orange County game this weekend.
Or like, really?
Or at halftime.
No.
It was like the teams were names of the cities where they
not the USL league. Not the USL Super League?
Maybe it was the USL Super League. Maybe it was not the NWSL. So you have to explain the difference to me.
Good. The chatter has been USL is starting a women's league. It'll be underneath, kind of, just like the USL, the MLS. A USL women's league. Bobby Perez said the first division.
Oh, NWSL.
NWSL. We're talking Sam Kerr's league.
Got it.
Alex Morgan's league. Rose Lavelle.
Got it.
National team players, like the league.
Like that team in L.A., like the Angels, Angel City or whatever, just that like all the famous people own.
So it's a lot of Portland, but also Louisville. Thorns, yeah, yes. But also Louisville.
Gotcha.
So there is precedent.
Okay.
And that's what I want. I don't want second division women's team. I think it's a good investment. They're like $50 million or something to get a team.
I talked to a defense attorney buddy of mine, who was at the Mexico-Australia game.
Mm.
He said the soccering was good. It was really good. Those teams were both really good. And he said maybe 3,000 or 4,000. Well, he was a little... When I asked him, I said, how was the crowd?
Yeah.
He said, numbers-wise, I don't think it was great, but enthusiasm-wise, really, really good. You know, that was his honest assessment of it.
Official attendance was 7,000, but I saw pictures, and I agree. It looked sparser than that. But I don't know. They did not say we want to have another team, but they did say we want to have more women's soccer events.
Gotcha.
So does that mean more exhibitions? Definitely. Does that mean a team?
Okay.
Not for sure.
All right.
So don't. This is not a promise that we're going to bring a women's team here. They did not say that. But they did promise we want to bring more women's events.
Okay.
So, but it, like, out of the blue, right? This wasn't a question. They just said, another thing we do is we hosted this game. So it shows me that they're interested. They care.
And, I mean, obviously if they're trying to woo businesses, if they have another team, that's more opportunities for sponsorships and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. And also when the crowd is 50-50 men and women.
Yes.
The first question was from a woman about women's soccer. After that.
Okay.
So it was on people's minds.
And then there was there some negativity, ooh, like people hearing about, and like, well, what about the Athenians?
First,
like,
no,
like they're
no,
not
no.
going to have a, they're not
no.
going to have a bite at the apple.
No, no, no. First question was, what about those fields at Star? They sure suck. And I was like, oh my God, we're going there. My son's on this team and those fields are trash.
No way.
And I was like, Jesus, guys.
Really? The people had to go, that was the that's the default?
It did bring up something really interesting. I don't know if I shared this with you about the business side. Did we talk about this?
No.
They were talking about the stadium and they go, well, like Toyota Field, we inherited that sponsorship from the Scorpions. And things are different, but the way the Spurs do it, like, is very business. The way the Spurs do business is, well, when we're going to have a stadium, if we're going to sell the naming rights, say you're Toyota, if we sell you the stadium naming rights for $1 million, that $1 million is going to go to stadium maintenance.
Upkeep and maintenance.
Yes. And something called a...
Because, oh, and so like...
A P&O.
Whoa.
Remember that?
Yeah,
I know. I had to Google it.
Woo, what is it?
Like, when you keep your... Silos and silos.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember the terms. What were you going to say? I'm sorry.
So, like, so what you're getting at is with regards to our scoreboard,
yes.
Because Spurs didn't reap any of the benefits of the naming rights and didn't get any of that money, like, Toyota, they think Toyota should be responsible for fixing that.
It means, like, they have, like, the scoreboard and the parking lot. It's like, we are not, it is clear, they are not going to just take Spurs money. Or Red McCombs money, or Star money. It's like we have silos, and that's our field fund. And if the scoreboard breaks, if there's no new income, the scoreboard, there's no fund to fund it.
I got it.
And you know what? For me, hearing that, I was like, okay, I respect that.
So we've been asking for an explanation
yes.
for so long.
The explanation is they're fiscally responsible.
Right.
And like that is great.
We didn't get any money for that scoreboard when we bought the stadium, so there's no scoreboard fund right now. Like, we're not going to lose money fixing those few panels.
I'm extrapolating it, all right?
Yeah.
But from the way they termed that, and when it came back to the fields, they're like, those are city fields, we have them, but we'd love you to call your city and ask them to have a bond issue to put money in the fields. We always need more money for infrastructure, but that's not in our budget alignment or whatever. And, like, that's maybe a rude way of saying we don't want to pay for it, but it's like being responsible and saying we have a budget and we have these fields. We can't just... He's like, it's like $2 million to redo the soccer fields.
Like, it's like you... They're basically explaining in a little microcosm problem of, like, what we're seeing on the grand scheme work its way out in the papers, like... We want a new stadium, but we want it on this public land that they're going to subsidize for us and they're taking from the University of Texas.
Well, speaking of Toyota infrastructure, the falling roof at Saturday's
game.
Let's
transition. So there was a game on Saturday night at our place. I was not there, but you made it, Matthew. Good for you.
Yes. Checks notes. SAFC 0, OC 0, Saturday night. That's all your goals.
Yeah.
That was unplanned, but I had nothing to say.
Yeah.
So that's your recap.
So when I saw it Saturday night, I was like, whew, well, I'm glad I didn't, like, miss out on this other social thing that I had to do or was doing and went and saw a 0-0 game. But then I went and watched 60 Minutes today.
Okay.
And there was some good soccering going on, dude, like in some long stretches that was more entertaining than a 0-0 number would indicate.
And you mean from both teams, correct?
From both teams.
Good teams.
Like, I saw some like 2 or 3 minute possession like around the edges of the 18 from both teams with some really good soccering going on. Like one interchange with OC where guys overlapping and makes a little swivel pass after the guy had overlapped him. And then they hit the runner going through. And then we had like a 3-man game with Jorge Hernandez and Hawkinson and Aguadelo.
Yeah.
Like, but just because it didn't, things broke down inside the 18 didn't mean it wasn't entertaining.
Agree.
Okay.
But my headline is forgettable.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to remember the game.
It was two good
teams.
By the
end of the season.
No. I'm not going to remember the game in a month.
No.
I went to the game. I went with listener, friend of the pod, James Moore. We had a beer. We talked about a lot of stuff. We watched a lot of soccer, and that's about all I remember. Okay, you're right. It was good team. I went.
Well, that's not all you remember, because we'll get to a couple of things that we want to mention about the game that I didn't get to see.
The roof caving in? That's the most memorable part of the game.
That's what it'll be remembered for.
Yes.
So explain what happened.
Well, listener of the pod, Oliver, sends me a text. How'd you find out about this? Did they show it on TV?
No, on Facebook. People were asking, what happened in such and such a section? Why was it cleared out? Was there a, you know, what the hell happened?
Section 110 in the corner, the very last roof panel was dislodged. And it's like a 20-foot by 5-foot piece of steel just teetering up there. And there were people in the section earlier.
And to be fair, there had been some pretty violent storms. I had a bunch
Super windy.
I had a bunch of branches come down.
Yes.
Like either the night before or...
But man, I mean, I sat there. He sent me the picture and I looked over it, and sure enough, you could see it. Sure as shit.
Were people like pointing from like the other side of the field? Was it noticeable like within the game?
Yeah, because the section they went into was really empty. And then they moved him into the section, and now the section was completely empty with police tape around it. And I'll tell you what, when I left...
And they did it in the middle of the game?
Oh, yeah.
They forced people to evacuate their section.
Well, it was wiggling further loose. And when I walked by...
It was a better show than the actual game on the field?
More drama. It was on a knife's edge. When I walked by, dude, like, I'm glad there wasn't a bad story, because I swear... that they hadn't really quite evacuated, like, as much as I would have.
So, that, like, if it had a swung over, it could have fallen into the section next to it.
If the wind had caught it and blown it, that whole 109, I'm not trying to blame Spurs. I hope you're not... There's no liability issues here. But that motherfucker could have killed someone. I mean, it was a humongous... Just like you see on a house. It made me realize that's just house roofing.
Well, maybe it's for the better that we have, that we're off, that they're away.
Yeah,
for
2 weeks.
Two weekends.
Good call.
Hopefully they have the funds in their silo for that. Do you think they have the funds in their silo for that?
Reminder to all the homeowners out there, take care of your routine maintenance, all right? You don't want shingles falling on neighbors. It was crazy looking. It was not, I mean, it's not like half of the stadium roof, but it was like 5 feet by 40 feet. And it was like way ajar.
I saw somebody took a picture of it. I saw a picture on Facebook. Me and my children would have gotten out of there. You wouldn't have had to ask me to leave.
It will fall shortly if it hasn't already. Or they're going to need like a crane or a serious ladder system to get up there. Thank God it didn't fall. Oh my God. That would not be funny at all. Because like, it had death potential.
Okay.
Serious death potential.
Well, good. That thumbs up.
Thumbs up on the stadium not killing anyone.
Yeah.
Oliver's text was like, the stadium is literally falling apart over here. And I was like thinking it was funny. And then I looked and I was like, oh shit. It's high up there. It's like 50 feet up.
It definitely makes the scoreboard problem look like a little
maybe they're gonna now start charging in the Heroes parking lot to say they have to pay for the stadium roof. I mean, listeners, you're here for our soccer analysis or the witty banter, but my soccer analysis is very short.
On the field.
They put Luke in the middle.
So there we go. That's exactly what I wanted to bring up. I asked for it the last couple of weekends or had kind of said that's what I thought.
Uh-huh.
Not the shining, you know, not much of a difference. Like, it still looked a little disjointed. He is skillful. So did see some good combining between him and Kevon.
He can do Kevin. He can do everything.
Yeah.
But I agree, like, he's great. It didn't fix the problem in the middle.
We still don't have Abu.
Mo Abu, we miss you.
Yeah, we don't have a fix for that yet.
We did have a new right center back. Boney came in for Manly.
He played great tonight. Two or three big blocks.
That sliding play was crucial.
Yes.
That was right when I was getting to my seats, and that looked like a surefire goal coming.
Fans that listen to our podcast when we do our preview of the next game, I mentioned the surprise goalie that we said you weren't going to get to see. Ooh. And he played.
He didn't just play. He showed well.
Yeah. He made and he had played here before.
Let's call him out.
We scored three goals on him in the first, like, really? 30 minutes when we played him here last year.
Duncan or Dylan?
Faree. Is
Duncan or Dylan, right?
Ooh, or is it Duran Faree?
Faree. He's a 17-year-old U.S. baby national team goalkeeper.
That is the first player signed by the new MLS San Diego team.
Ah.
And he's on loan with them.
Didn't realize that.
Yes.
Former San Diego Loyal.
Yes, former San Diego Loyal.
You know, last time he was here, he was all gangly.
Yes.
He's grown up.
He looked big, dude. When he was taking a goal kick, they went up on him.
Yes.
He's thick through the chest these days. Like,
I did my best to heckle him, Clayton, and he was not rattled. Where's your driver's license or where... Your permission slip, where's your mom's signature, didn't even look back.
For people that want to, like, have that moment, like, ooh, I remember when.
Ooh.
This is a kid that one day will be playing somewhere, and you'll see him on TV, and you'll be like, I remember when that kid played in front of SAFC, and he was a gangly little kid.
Couple good saves.
Yeah, you can tell that he has the body and the pedigree to go somewhere.
The biggest thing is, he doesn't look like a 17-year-old goalie.
No.
Until I saw the name on his shirt, I was like, oh shit, it's the kid.
Yeah.
He looks like a grown man.
Well, apparently he didn't know until right before game time. Apparently something happened to the other
goalie. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Good game by him. Did everything well.
Yep. Anything on the field for you?
Lot of yellow cards for, like, some choppy, chatty, what do you call it when there's just, like, kicky.
Oh, just
handbags.
Yeah, that kind of stuff.
Little scuffles.
Yeah.
So, but the temperature stayed kind of at a rolling boil.
Burke's really good at center really back. Good. Like, a couple of times where I'm like, oh man, they're going to be in a really good position here, and he wins the ball, or they go nowhere in a 1v1, or he like has a sliding challenge and wins it. Like, if he misses it, we're in serious trouble. Like, really good game from him.
And Captain Mitch teetered on the edge there for a minute.
Oh, that tackle down. from behind, like, oh, he
I could see it from my seats. He yanks the guy's arm and jersey down like a horse collar tackle. It was bad.
He's gone
real bad.
He's gone. He's gone, like, back to kind of being the heel again.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that?
Yes.
He's done some wagging of the finger this year. He stood over people and talked to them and stuff.
I mean, he got the red card by doing that for the other guy, but it was just completely unnecessary. He was beat. He could have just fouled him.
Do you think he's, like, feels like as he's gotten a little bit older, like, a little bit more John Terry in him? Like, master of the dark arts? Kind of stuff.
He's just a grumpy dog. Just barking. He's comfortable now, so he can bark more. He doesn't have the contract on the line.
I thought it was a well-played game of soccer.
Yes.
Like, just missing a little quality in the final third, which, you know, is what you could say for just about every game where you don't score.
Say this. When I went back to watch the highlights to familiarize myself with what the hell had happened.
Yeah.
Usually they're like 7-8 minutes. This week was 4 minutes.
And
4 minutes, Clayton.
And some highlights were not even, like, with shots on goal.
There were like 3 shots of note in the whole game.
Yeah, closest we came to scoring, the scoring play where Mitch where the tank gets loose on the back end.
Yeah,
nods it down, but keeper's in the right place. Do you think he was shooting, or do you think he was trying to play it across?
Across. There's a guy there.
I think so too.
And I think the closest we came to shooting scoring was Silva. Patented Silva arrives in the box moment, and the keeper made a good save. So
yeah,
Ferry
yeah
kept it out.
Good to see Silva back on his game.
Yeah,
I thought he was better.
Still only not playing the whole game. He must still be a little bit injured, I guess. Yeah. Getting back in shape.
Yeah,
that's about it, man.
No,
we won the possession battle again for the 5th straight game
and outshot them
every game this year. We've done those things.
No complaints. Like I said, I thought there was some good creative stuff, just missing it in the final third.
Boney opened the field up a lot more than Manley does.
He took some guys on, like, in the first 30 seconds. He does that little, like, whoop, whoop. And then,
but he's also playing a lot wider, and that gave us more space, but man, we look disconnected.
There were a couple of, what about that run that Tanner went on when he ends up at the edge of the 18 and tries to lay that ball off, like, which is actually a pretty skillful
run. And then he's like running into the spot. Yeah. I was like, wait, why is Tanner in the box in the little six now?
And you can see him put his hand up like, I'm running a post route.
Yeah.
Get it to me.
Yeah. Yeah, that was, I just saw the, caught the end of that in person and was like, wait, why is Tanner playing center forward? Yep. So we move on to a road trip.
Road trip. How heading up to
East Coast, two games.
Hartford, Connecticut.
We go to Hartford and then we go to Miami. Fiesta trip.
I didn't do a preview on Miami, but I did a little, you know,
Miami's,
on Hartford.
Miami's not for another week, but if we don't get Connor Maloney, I wouldn't think it was crazy if we took a week off for Fiesta, just like the Inferno are.
Yeah, look at you.
But Hartford. I took some notes on Hartford.
So
their record.
They were one of them. Oh, go ahead.
Three wins, one loss. For fifth place.
Much improved on where they were last year.
Yes.
Where they fired everybody within, like, after was it Todd Ramos? Todd Ramos.
They were in last place.
Or was he the...
It was Todd Ramos.
Was it the season before last?
It was Todd Ramos last year.
Yeah.
You picked him in the Puro Pick 4. Why'd you pick him?
I did, because...
name recognition?
The Colorado coach, which had produced some good teams over the last few years and played a very distinct way, loves speed, and they went and got that in spades.
I see two former Colorado players.
Yes, two former Colorado and
two former SAFC
players. Why don't you go ahead and let's do the alumni. Let's do the alumni segment.
First in your alumni segment, I'll just go random. Omar Epps.
Yeah, Marcus Epps.
I know.
Yes, but we
just
like
love calling him Omar Epps.
Marcus Epps
played here about 5 years ago. Great player.
No, not that long ago, I think.
Pre-COVID. We only went to Tulsa.
But had, what, three seasons with us?
He went to Phoenix.
He went to Phoenix, then he went to Tulsa,
and now he's in Hartford.
Yeah, you're right. Yes.
However long ago it was, great player. We loved him. He was a joy to watch. We were sad to see him go. It'll be fun to watch him play this Saturday.
Fits their system.
What's their system?
The way that guy likes to play.
I know, I mean...
like three fast, speedy, attacking players that will drive the ball and take people on.
Jailbreak.
Which explains other SAFC alumni.
Shane Beckford.
There we go.
Jamaican, right?
Yep.
Bad year here, good year in Colorado.
And now in Hartford.
With his old coach.
And then non-SAFC, but... Michi Nagalina.
Track star.
Yes, who was with him in Colorado when they had the guy that they sold to Egypt.
Yes.
But
let's stick with Nagalina.
Yes.
Because I don't remember Egypt guy's name. Fast, fast, fast. When you see the blur on your screen, that's Michi Nagalina.
Like, faster than Marcus and Deshane. And
faster than anyone on our team.
And they also have Augustine Williams as well, who scored countless number of goals for...
Do you mean Romario Williams?
Romario Williams.
That's
the
fourth name on my list.
I'm sorry.
Was it Pittsburgh he played with?
I think he was Pittsburgh last season, but he's been on three or four different teams, and he's scored goals everywhere he's gone.
And he's one of those Jamaican Gold Cup players, right?
Yes.
He's probably scored against Mexico in the Azteca.
And he's probably in the top 10 all-time USL like goal scoring list.
Great player.
So
little old.
They are gonna be attack, go at you, and game is at a bizarre time. It's at 4 o'clock.
4 o'clock
our time on Saturday.
5 o'clock East Coast time. Maybe they want to play it in the light. Maybe they don't have lights.
Maybe it's still cold there at nights. Like the Rangers are playing in Detroit.
They're playing
three consecutive noon first pitches because it's still getting real cold at night.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah. I wonder if they... Yeah.
I mean, they just got a bunch of snow in Boston.
Yeah, I remember that. And this is Hartford, Connecticut, which is hell on earth, listeners.
What do you think about... So you spent a bunch of time in Connecticut.
Hell on earth.
What do you think they could have a nice stadium, though? Like, on the water? Like
Hartford is not on the water.
Hartford is not on the water?
Hell is not on the water.
I've been to Hartford, and I think
it's 45 minutes up into the state. Beautiful state. Awful city.
Got it.
Just, like, the Newark of Connecticut. The Detroit... of Connecticut.
I'm kind
of
looking forward to see like what kind of commercials we get like from their local like from the Wawa or from the you know Dunkin' Donuts, right? There'll probably be some Dunkin' Donuts commercials.
Wawa. Why do they love Dunkin' so much up there?
That's their thing, dude. That's their thing. Don't talk shit about it.
I love that. Our newest segment for away games. pick the sponsors.
Yeah.
I hope we get some, like, just shitty Connecticut beer, like Ice House.
Right, or some kind of...
Ice House beer.
Like, local Subway, like, local, like hoagie...
Subs.
Like, local hoagie and grinder place.
Oh, yeah. Pepe's Pizza from New Haven. Listeners, I went to college in Connecticut, so the ultimate road trip would be get the fuck out of Hartford.
But anyway, should be a good game, yes? Like, they are showing some... Oh, okay. Additionally, the guy that's running their team, their version of Marco Ferruzzi,
yes,
is the guy from the Philadelphia Union, who's been a...
The German guy?
No, not the German... Like, I don't know if he was the head of their academy. Oh, I think he was the head of their academy, which has pumped out some serious talent over the last 5 to 6 years.
Well, that's a different thing for Hartford. Man, I don't know what... They're always playing national team games in Hartford. USL's got a team there now. I just don't see it. I don't get it. I mean, I guess there's people and they don't have any other teams, so...
So that they'll go on a Friday night or they'll go on a Saturday night.
There's no NBA, there's no NFL, there's no MLB. But
I think the soccering should be good. I don't know what to expect, like what kind of fans they get there, yeah, or like what their attendance is, or
what they play
like
at.
Yeah.
Classic offense versus defense.
Yes.
With solid D, them with the attack.
I didn't reckon, and that's the guy you don't want the ball to fall to right there. Killing him up. It's hard enough to guard him when the ball doesn't just go right to him, but there it is right there.
Bad luck.
Ball game. I'm glad they turned it around.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't like the East Coast, so this game, meh.
Around the league.
Poro Pick 4.
Around the league, Poro Pick 4, sponsored by Becker Vineyards. Love that Becker Vineyards wine.
Oh, I thought you were going to tell me about how you loved our new first place team.
No. You can. I'm not going to. Because then it sounds like there's nepotism involved here.
I've got his entry right over there, listeners. If you question it, I've got the handwritten note.
We really should change it to "Can you beat a 6-year-old?"
Is he 6?
Yeah.
I was about to ask you.
Can you beat a 6-year-old? Are you smarter than a 6-year-old?
New first place, right, listeners. Charlie and Michelle, young Charlie Hayden, 6 years old, first place. He knows the soccer.
I don't know what to tell you.
Did he know he was in first since he takes his own scores?
Yeah, he came up to me today when he got home from school. And actually, he wants to tell Connor Maloney that he's in first place.
When we have Connor on here.
Like, he's like, can I tell him that I'm in first place, Dad? Is that okay? Can I tell him that on the pod?
Wow.
So anyway... around the league, what kind of scores did you see this weekend that interested you?
You know, nothing. You? I was hoping you might bring some.
I didn't take any notes.
I looked today, and of note was very little.
Charleston, how about this?
Two
wins in a week.
Yeah.
With one of those wins over Louisville.
Five goals.
Who looked so damn good on national TV against Indianapolis.
Five goals and three goals means 8 goals in 2 games. 6 points. They've got to be in first or near first.
Yeah. Las Vegas with a loss against somebody after picking up that win against us.
Yeah, because I was like, man, Charlie's in first and Las Vegas lost.
Yeah.
One of his teams. Impressive stuff, Charlie Hayden.
Well, I guess Ian must have taken a dive. I don't know what teams Ian has.
Ian's in second. I don't know who he's got either. His entry's over there somewhere.
Who's winning the pod division?
I plead the fifth.
Okay, you didn't dig that deep into
it? I posted it on Twitter.
Got it.
But the pod division is not nearly as interesting as can you beat a 6-year-old.
Yeah.
But the pod division is interesting in its own way.
We need to make a note to whenever we play somebody who is entered to contact them to see if they want to like do a little joint segment.
Hartford's not.
Okay.
Miami's not.
Okay.
I know New Mexico is. Colorado is. So,
okay.
Yeah, good point. We need to remember that.
But around the league, anything else that you saw? Anything else of interest to you?
No.
I checked the goals of the week. There weren't any that really stood out to me. They're like, man, that's a real banger or anything like that.
Forgettable.
Like,
forgettable
yeah.
week in the USL, which is fine. They're coming off that high of the national TV game.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, I wish I had something interesting to tell you, but I don't.
Are we with free kicks?
Yeah.
Brought to you by Trevino Tile, 3 generations of tiling and ceramics needs. Perhaps you have some fiesta tiling that you'd like to put around your patio for your debutante party that you're hosting. I'm sure Trevino Tile can help you out with that. Trevino Tile, three generations of tiling needs. Ask for them by name.
By name. Do you have a free kick? Are you
on me? I'll think of one by the time that you go.
All right. Well, the first thing top of my mind. Welcome to Wrexham.
What do you mean?
I think in the UK they call it Scenes. That's S-C-E-N-E. Wrexham clinched automatic promotion. They did. On Saturday, they needed some wacky combination of results to get it, and they got it, and they won 5-0 at home to secure it. The race course got stormed. Listeners, if you don't know, Ryan Reynolds and the other guy. That's what they say.
Rob McElhenney
from Always Sunny in Philadelphia bought Wrexham about 2-3 years ago. There's a documentary series on Hulu. There's
actually season three is starting at the beginning of May, so this is kind of timely.
Yes, it was supposed to come out earlier, and I've been mad that it's not out yet. Maybe they were waiting for this day before they started it. So in their third season, the first season, they barely missed promotion. Last year, they got promoted
from the National League into the actual Football League.
Which is the fourth tier, I guess, last year.
I mean, second division would be first championship. Yes, it would be considered the fourth division, yes.
And now they just clinched promotion second year in a row. So they went from being promoted to promoted again to League 2 now? No, they'll be in League 1.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, man. I love the show. Listeners, if you haven't watched it, highly recommend. You as well?
Yes, for sure. It's highly watchable. Even if you're not a super soccer fan.
That's true.
Like, the different... It's a very different type of documentary than Sunderland Till I Die.
It's very much player and ownership center and the fans, right?
Everyone, yeah, and there's production value to it where, you know, like, teach you things about whales and stuff like that. They try to be funny. It's not like a... This is our life. This is the only thing that matters to us. And whether or not we go up or down, that's it. You know what I'm saying? There's cultural history involved with it as well.
Yeah. I expected to not like it. I was going in really skeptical. And I liked it. So I'm not super fan, but I'm a fan.
For me, let's see. Do I have two free kicks? First of all, I don't think we had any San Antonio High School state champions.
Bernie lost both boys and girls in the finals. How about that? Making it to the finals?
Yes, I didn't want to start it off as negative. I should have started with like applause and kudos to Bernie for I think for the boys, this is like the third year or fourth year in a row they've gone to the state finals.
Uh-huh.
And they've won one or two.
And they were undefeated this year before the state championship game. No ties.
We saw them play at the Alma Heights tournament a couple of times.
Yeah.
Really good team. Very hardworking. I know that their coach played against their coach, played with their coach, is a great kid, and they deserve everything they get. Like, and you, when you see them playing against Alma Heights and against the big schools, you're like, this is just a good soccer game. And you forget that they're 4A.
Well, this is their last year in 4A.
Right, because they're moving up into, and are they putting Piper, Alma Heights, and the Bernie schools all in there together? Mm-hmm. So that will be a battle of a district. Like, that maybe the toughest district in the state.
No, I don't know about the state, but in the area for sure.
I mean,
those Dallas districts.
Piper made it to the. They ended up losing to the team that went to the state semifinals.
Sure, but those Dallas districts, are okay. Absurd.
Some of them, yeah, like those Frisco ones.
Yeah, Frisco Wakeland, both teams in the state final as well.
Yeah,
that's where friend of the pod Hayden Partain went. Almost every year, both of their teams are in the state championship.
But no local state champions this year. So we'll try to get one next year.
I don't know about the
private school like Central Catholic and stuff like that.
There's only one state champ.
Okay, there we go.
That's a ridiculous goal. All right. Congratulations to Bernie to get there.
Yeah,
that's huge. Yep. One of the top two in the whole state.
Second one for me. Congratulations to Bayern Leverkusen in Germany.
No longer Neverkusen.
I don't know much about the history of them, but they have been the most fun team to watch in European soccer this year. Like they just play
just they're the most beautiful soccer. Team, yes.
It's just amazing. And I'm sure what will happen is Bayern Munich will raid all of them and take three or four of their players and probably take their coach. And unless their coach is going to go to Liverpool.
He said he's staying next year, Clayton.
Really?
Bringing the band back.
Well, you know
he
what?
He said he doesn't feel like he's ready for anything bigger.
I would love to see that in more in professional soccer. More continuity.
Some loyalty.
More continuity.
Some loyalty, too.
Yes, exactly. Like, instead of the... Well, I want to move on to a big club where they're playing for Champions League every year. You're going to be in the Champions League, you know?
Yep.
Like, play for the badge. Play for the badge. San Antonio. Good night.